this chapter spoke to me so much, and I felt compelled to write it because I was living it. For so many years, I felt that I had to stay late to get everything done, to make sure the papers are graded, to make sure that every last task is done on time. And finally, I had a good friend come to me and say, "Susan, there's no medal at the end of the day if you're the last car in the parking lot."
Connection, engagement, rigor, success. Here on Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast, we are building a legacy of success together, one episode at a time, each Tuesday at noon. As your host, Anne Labangana Clay of ANC Unlimited, we will unpack relevant topics in education together. And when I'm not podcasting, coaching, or consulting, stop by our website, acunlimited.org, for our new blog, Coaching You EDU, and a menu of services. If something resonates with you during this episode, message me on the podcast app of your choice or leave a comment on LinkedIn, our company Facebook page, or on Twitter. Our guests appreciate your feedback. Check out the story notes for our social media details, and certainly, if you have an episode suggestion, send it to coachingallthingsedu@gmail.com. Now let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 35 of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. We are so excited today. We are continuing our series entitled PD in Your Pocket, where we unpack those key do's or don'ts from the hashtag 100 Stop series in 30 minutes or less. But we are really excited today because we have with us Susan Melby. She is an elementary principal from Virginia, a member of the hashtag Moms as Principals, and a contributing author of Chapter 62 in the hashtag 100 Stop series book called 100 No-Nonsense Things That All Teachers Should Stop Doing. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, so nice to be here. So my name is Susan Melby. I am the proud principal at Nottoway Elementary, where I serve about 300 students. And I have been a principal. This is year six as being a principal. And I've been in administration for 11 years and going into my 19th year in education. So I have done it all. I've taught high school, middle school. I've been in a middle school assistant principal, and now I'm at the elementary level. And so I absolutely love it. She talked a little bit about being hashtag Moms as Principal. Okay. It's a group that has just changed the whole trajectory of me and my educational philosophy. So it's a great group. And also Principals in Action, a PIA, a fantastic group as well. So it's always good to kind of stay connected when you're in an educational leader, because it is a very lonely, sometimes being the only person in your building being a principal.
Absolutely. I can imagine now, you know, I'm currently an instructional coach, but aspiring leader. And you made an excellent point, you know, that sometimes you do feel like you're in a silo and you need to, you know, make sure you have that network around you to bounce ideas off of, or, you know, questions that you have. But that's awesome. You have had an incredible journey. And we're excited to have you here today. Thank you so much. All right, let's see. We're going to unpack your chapter, in that 100 no-nonsense things that all teachers should stop doing. Again, you wrote chapter 62, Stop Staying Late at School. A lot of people are going to stop in their tracks with this chapter. Can you give us a brief summary of your chapter and unpack this section about not being a badge of honor? So let me say that differently. You have a section in your chapter that talks about how staying late is not a badge of honor. We would love to hear more about that.
So I just mentioned that I've been in education for 19 years. So this chapter spoke to me so much and I felt compelled to write it because I was living it. For so many years, I felt that I had to stay late to get everything done, to make sure the papers are graded, to make sure that every last task is done on time. And finally, I had a good friend come to me and say, Susan, there's no medal at the end of the day if you're the last car in the parking lot. Nobody's gonna say you get a gold star today because you were the last car in the parking lot. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. So I had to start telling myself and allowing myself to be okay with leaving early. That it is okay to choose myself, to choose my family, to choose to be just to have that balance not staying late at work. And work consumed me. I was a workaholic and I had to be okay with not everything being done. And that's an A-type personality. A lot of teachers, a lot of educators are A-type personalities and I love it, but it's okay to go home. It's okay to go to your kids' practice. It's okay to go walk the dog and even just have your physical and mental health be your priority. And so that was really what spoke to me about this chapter. And I really want people to resonate with that, is that you don't have to be the last car in the standing to be a good teacher. That doesn't define you as a teacher or as an educator. What defines you is what the quality of work that you do inside the building during those times of which you work.
That's it, yes.
And you're a teacher, you're an educator, but that's not the only role you play in this life. And so you need to be a mom, you need to be a dad, you need to be a sister, a brother. You need to also say it's okay to focus in on me. And so we talked about little ways of trying to basically time management a little better. So like, and also I talked about setting an alarm on your phone. Something just as simple as that, saying it's 4:30, you need to go home. Just to make sure that people knew that it's okay to value your time as a person and that you can go home and it's okay. And it's okay if that paper isn't graded. It's okay if that worksheet or if everything is not perfect. It's okay to go home and to like relax and decompress from the day, because education is no joke and you need to also take time for you.
Yes. Wow. I mean, you unpack so much, my goodness. I resonate with all of that. And you know what's so interesting is, I mean, like you, I thought that was, I mean, I didn't think I was getting a gold star, but I thought that's what had to happen. You know, you had to stay, you had to get there early, you had to stay there late, you know, and get all of these things, or take it home, right? How many people take things home and work on them at home, et cetera. And mind you, there are deadlines. I know you're not talking about like something that you put off. Right, no, but
you know, all about deadlines.
Right. But you're talking about your day to day, you know, and the key word that I took out of that was balance, right? Everyone has different things that they think of self-care, you know, as their go-to. So, you know, you don't want to say, okay, we'll take time to, you know, run around the block or take a walk, because that might not be their thing, but you do want to do something to, you know, create a self-care opportunity on a regular basis. And sometimes it's a matter of, like you said, you know, set that timer. At this time, I need to leave, you know. And oh gosh, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm glad you should be thankful to your friend who said to you, you know, there is no gold star. right? Think of all the teacher burnout.
It made so much sense, but it's something that I had a blind eye to because I had been used to it for so long.
Absolutely.
And that's what I had thought. And I thought that made me a better teacher and made me a better whatever, but it really didn't. It really was causing me to burn out and was causing me to stress out. And it was something that somebody was like, it's okay to go home. You know that, right? And when they put it to me in that way, I was like, wow, it was like that light bulb of a moment. Oh. And I even had that same friend. They were like, hey, Susan, remember you wrote the book on, or that chapter? You need to go home. It's time for you to go home to your kids. I was like, yeah, you're right. And I have been more mindful this year, especially with everything with the pandemic.
Everything.
I was like, no, I need to go home and be with my kids. I need to go home to my family right now. And I need to go do that. I have left work more on time this year than I ever have before, ever in education. It's because I took that time to, it took, I guess, a pandemic for me to realize
that
I need to focus in on something. I need to focus in on my family more.
And being intentional, right? I think that's the key, because, you know, once you don't have that intention, you know, anything could pop up and you could forget, you know. And I love that you have your little accountability partner, you know, who's like, hey, you wrote this chapter, you have to live by it. Because things have, like you said, things seem like they are a priority. But if you don't take care of you first, you won't be there for, you know, whatever it is that was on that list of to-dos. So thank you, Susan.
No problem.
Well, I don't know if you want to share more in this next question, or are there different tidbits? You've given us so much already. Could you share with our listening audience three takeaways or strategies in education or in life that they can utilize?
So the biggest thing with everything is, of course, you know, you do need to have that balance that we just previously talked about. And that's key, is that, yes, you are an educator, but that is not all in this world that you are. You can be a husband, a wife, you know, a mother. You can be so many things to so many different people. And it's okay that you're not always have that teacher hat on or that educator hat on. The other thing that has made me, that is everything in my being, and I tell this to my teachers, I tell this to anybody, it's all about relationships. Anything that I do, I definitely try to make sure that the relationships are the key foundation of anything that I start. And I want my teachers to start off building those relationships with those kids right out the gate. Like, I don't care about, you know, the assignment right there. I care about the kid as an individual. The last thing, and this is something that I always ask my teachers, and I always ask people, I'm like, is that what is best for kids? And so often we get in this routine of, hey, this is the way it's always been done. And sometimes I come up and I'm like, is that really what's best for kids? Or is that really what's best for us? So we've got to kind of look at things in a different light, in a different perspective. I'm kind of an out of the box thinker. And so a lot of times what I do is, when it's okay to be outside of the box, it's okay to be different, it's okay to be loud. But at the end of the day, everything I do, it comes to that core focus. Is it what's best for kids? And is it what's best for my kids in my building? So those are my big takeaways that I kind of, is my educational, gosh, philosophy in a quick, like, little chunk of time. I base it on relationships. I'm trying to balance better this year than I ever have before. And then the last thing, of course, is it what's best for kids? And lots of times the teachers that are in my building will tell you, they're like, that's the question I ask. I'm like, are we doing this for the kids, or are we doing this for a different purpose? What value are the kids going to get from this?
That's right.
In the long run, is that going to benefit them?
Oh, absolutely. All three, right? We talked about balance a few minutes ago. You know, building relationships is, as you said, it's essential. You know, relationships with your students, relationships adult to adult, you know, whether that be your, you know, your team, or your support staff and or as your administrators. You know, those relationships adult to adult are just as valuable as those relationships with students. And then your last one, of course, right? I mean, I say that because that's one of my mantras, like what's best for kids? Like, that's it. There is no other question, you know, that needs to go on the table until we address that. And so, like you said, are they going to get the value out of whatever decisions are made? Or is it about us as adults? And so we need to reflect on that. Oh, wow. Susan, I tell you, this has been great. We have one last question for you. And this question is trending on the show. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
So it's really funny that you asked that. And I don't know, but you can see it says you matter. And so I really want, you know, my staff, my kids, you know, they need to know that they matter. They need to know whenever I do announcements every day. And at the end of the announcements, I just say, just remember that Miss Melby loves and cares about you and hopes that you have the best day ever. And so I just want kids to know that they matter, that they are loved and that they're appreciated and valued. And the same goes for my staff as well. Like, and I get told so often, like whenever I'm having a bad day, or because as leaders, you have bad days and you have good days. But lots of times I can point up to that wall, and I've had, you know, good close friends that will point up to that wall and say, don't forget that you matter, and don't forget that somebody loves you, and don't forget that somebody cares about you. Mm. And so if I had any billboard, it would be one of positivity, just so that people know that they matter and that they are loved and that they're valued in this world.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, I can imagine that you're building, not that I don't love my own, but I'm kind of wanting to visit here.
It's a great place to be. I mean, my teachers are absolutely fantastic. I was just talking to my custodian this morning, and we were just talking. We're like, I really do have the best teachers and staff. Like, they are phenomenal. And so it makes it just so much easier. They love the kids, and they know that I love the kids, and I'm not afraid to tell the kids I love them. I'm like, no, I love them. And yes. Before COVID, I would give hugs all the time.
Oh, I know. We're getting there. We're getting back.
Elbows, you know, right. Air highs.
Yes.
And it's so hard, you know, like, because my love language is definitely, you know, signs of affection. And so, like, you want to hug the kids and be like, I love you. And you're like,
right. We do air hugs, right?
Yeah, there is something that we do here that's very cute and very sweet. It's like when we go into classrooms, because, you know, elementary, they shout out all the time. We give the I love you sign. And so when I walk into a classroom and the teacher's teaching, the kids know that they can give me the I love you sign, and I give it back to them saying, I love you. And I'm like, I love you. And they know that I love them.
I love it.
They want to shout it to the rooftops. I'm like, I love you, but she's still teaching.
Oh, precious, precious. And like you said, it's two things. I hear two things in that. And for our listening audience, they can't see. So she's doing the sign language for I love you with her fingers. But I hear two things in that. You know, first of all, you're, you know, coming into their space and letting them know, you know, even though it's in the middle of instruction, that I love you, right? You're expressing that affection. And then in addition to that, you're not interrupting the teacher. I mean, not that, you know, I get it. I mean, I love it when everybody comes in.
Well, okay, right? As soon as somebody comes in, though.
Right. It's like a rock concert celebrity, right?
Love you. I promise you. I love you. I promise.
But shh. Exactly.
I was like, because I don't want the teacher to, like, you know, you don't want to ever
off rhythm or anything, right? Time is valuable, right?
Yes. Very, very, very much so.
Absolutely. Very much so. So that's awesome. Well, Susan, thank you so, so much for sharing with us today. We absolutely loved having you and listening and learning from you today. So
thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a blast. It's been a great
All right. Well, have a good rest of the day.
All right. Bye, you guys.
All right. Well, that concludes another episode of Coaching You Through All Things Education. As Confucius states, those people who develop the ability to continuously acquire new and better forms of knowledge that they can apply to their work and into their lives will be the movers and shakers in our society for the indefinite future. Again, you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter, or you can also find us on our Facebook page, A&C Unlimited. As a reminder, for a free consultation in any area of education that you choose, for educators, administrators, or parents, please visit acunlimited.org. Until next time, stay stress-free and be well.